name of Jesus, amen. Some years ago, the receptionist called me to inform me that a man wished to see me. And when he came in, he showed me a small leathern case ID card to inform me that he was a certified agent of the intelligence section of the armed services. The card told me that he had a right to ask pertinent questions, that I had the responsibility to listen very carefully and to answer him honestly and forthrightly. A great stress of the Gospel according to St. John is that Jesus is the certified and the faithful agent of the Father. And this is underlined in the text of today, as well as the Gospel selection which you just heard a few minutes ago. The setting of John 5 takes us to a high festival at Jerusalem. Jesus had healed the invalid at the Pool of Bethesda, but in so doing he infuriated the Jewish leaders. This man, according to the Gospel selection, had been an invalid for 38 years. And the thinking of the leaders for Jesus to wait one more day would have made little difference. He would not have become then a Sabbath breaker. And what was worse, Jesus told the man whom he had healed to carry his mat and to go home, but to do so on the Sabbath. And thereby the man also became a Sabbath breaker. Jesus told them, as we read in verse 17, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." And verse 18 goes on to say, "For this reason the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling his Father, his God, his own Father, making himself equal with God." Let's hear what Jesus had to say, and this will be the text for today. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth. A time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Don't be amazed at this, for time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and will come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." What important points did Jesus make in his reply to the leaders of that time? First of all, Jesus stressed the intimate relationship and unity between the Father and himself. He underlined his role as a certified agent of the Father, one who was always faithful to his Father's will. And this came out so very clearly in the Gospel lesson which you just heard. Jesus stressed that the Father has given him the right to give life. We remember that John begins his Gospel by stressing the role of Jesus in the act of creation. Paul speaks about this in the first chapter in his letter to the Colossians, and the writer of Hebrews mentions this in the very early verses of chapter 1. In creation, life was given to plants, to animals, and above all to men. But there's far more than that which lies behind these words that Jesus speaks, and that is that through Jesus' role as the obedient, suffering servant, he would give spiritual life to those who were spiritually dead. They would hear his voice. And those who really hear his voice, that is, through the role of the Spirit working in their hearts, would react positively to God's offer of grace and forgiveness. They would have life and salvation, but only they would have this tremendous gift of God. And this is also underlined in the closing verses of our text in verses 28 and 29, which speaks of Jesus' role as the judge of the universe on the last day. Jesus underlines there what he does elsewhere too, that on that day all will hear the compelling voice of Jesus. Those who in their lifetime heard him speak as their Savior and Lord, they will experience eternal life. They will have life in its perfection, in its abundance, without the end of time. The invitation to hear carefully and faithfully the voice of the Son as the agent of the Father is part of our ongoing privilege, also during the quarter which has just begun. Maybe this is a bit mundane to say on the Friday, the first week of the new quarter. I'm sure all of us are happy that the day will end. But it's rather important to remember that during this quarter we need to prepare ourselves faithfully each day for the courses which are such an intimate part of our life during the weeks that lie ahead. This means also that you and I will work very hard to hear what God is saying to us in the total context of each class period. And just as you and I know only too well, means a lot of mental toil and sweat, not only for students, but let me assure you, also for those who are teachers. But as faithful hearers and followers of Jesus, we will want to do nothing less than that. That is our role as those who hear the voice of the Savior. And then we want to remember another facet, and it's so easy to forget that. Namely, that hearing involves much more than merely the academic. You and I are engaged in that awesome task of preparing ourselves in theology to serve God's people faithfully at the present and also in the years to come. And so you and I will always want to keep in mind that our daily academic tasks have a very personal and a very spiritual dimension. Our Lord speaks to us in terms of our personal faith life, be it in systematic, historical, exegetical, or practical theology. And so as we seek to grow academically in understanding and in perception, we also seek through the Spirit's power and his work in our hearts to grow in grace and in wisdom in him who is our Savior and our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.